Would you open the precious word of God tonight to the book of Romans? We're going to just keep on keeping on now, right through the book. Not skipping anything. And we're trying to just preach right through the book, verse by verse, line upon line, principle by principle, and just take it the way God gives it. I don't want you to miss Sunday. Sunday mornings will be a great encouragement to you. I've been encouraged. The Lord's personally worked in my heart through these young people. And we just really need to pray that God will just, you know, we know God flames the fire, but we also know that the world likes to douse it. And our flesh likes to douse it. And through the years, we've seen a lot of people, including myself, young people, older people, get on fire for God. And I truly believe that God really worked in their heart. And I truly believe they had a desire to follow the Lord and to serve Him and to obey Him. But I realize how we get stagnant and how other things sometimes takes precedence in our lives. And I pray that God would help all of us to realize the importance of keeping our relationship and our Christian life with the Lord so very precious. And the older I get, I said this earlier, but I mean it. The older I get, the more I realize that a lot of things change. Me and Brother Mike from time to time will sit around, and there's a lot of things we're not able to do anymore. We think back, we used to be able to do things. We'd go every year somewhere and do, you know, those things aren't able to do. But, you know, my satisfaction has to come from someone that doesn't change, and that's the Lord. So He always satisfies, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we can or can't do. And I'll just be honest, you know, and I don't think Dad would mind this, but you know, for years, every year, me and Mike and Dad, we went on a fishing trip. It was a special trip. We had a great time. We made memories. And I'm going to be honest with you, can't do them anymore. And you say, well, Pastor, you lose your joy. Well, I'll tell you, if that was my joy, then I lost it. If that was my happiness, that activity, and looked forward to it, and by the way, I did look forward to it every year, but if that's all I had to look forward to, I'm a miserable man today because no longer can do it. Can't do it. Dad's not physically able to do it. And so the Lord satisfies. The Lord satisfies. And He becomes more precious as the older we get. And I realize that. In Romans chapter number 7, and I am a very sentimental man, big time. Probably more so, I don't know, I wouldn't say maybe more so than most men, but my wife will tell you, man, I hold past and great memories and people and events in my life, I hold them very dear, and I thank God for all of them. But even when those things change, we still have the unchanging friend, the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 7, let's begin reading with verse 14. And if you'll begin reading with me, we'll share this passage. I've been excited about getting to this part of the passage, to be honest with you. The Bible says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Mark it. "For we know that the law is spiritual." Notice this. "But I am carnal, sold under sin." Now we're going to find out how carnal he is. "And the same struggles that he has, we have." I want you to notice verse 15. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man,
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Heavenly Father, we ask you'll help us now tonight. I ask the Spirit of God to illuminate His Word to us. Lord, do more. I know we need more than what I could do. We need the Spirit of God to open our spiritual understanding. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to come to this passage of Scripture tonight and see ourselves here so that we realize there's help here. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If one were to consider a giant of the faith, we're reading him tonight. No doubt about it. The Apostle Paul. Now, let me say this, and this has been something that's been convicting to me recently. Now, the Apostle Paul is not the goal. Jesus Christ is always the goal. But the Apostle Paul, no doubt his life is for our learning. The Bible says that the Word of God has been written aforetime for what? Our learning through patience and hope of the Scriptures that we might have hope. So we understand that God's utensils or His vessels that He uses, we can learn from their mistakes and we can learn from their successes. And tonight we're reading a gentleman that we would understand certainly would rank very high on the list of what we would consider giants of the faith. I don't believe that you could touch a portion of his body without touching a scar that he had suffered for serving God. He had crossed the then known world planting churches. He had given his life. He was sold out to God completely. And so we understand Paul stands as a great example for all believers. But what blesses me tonight, and what I want to just preach tonight, is this thought. He opens up his heart and shares some things with us tonight that is very unusual. I have thoroughly enjoyed the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think we have one more week left. Pastor Sexton, we've been having these video conference calls, and my, how I have been so encouraged. And I even wrote him a little email and I said, I just want you to know I appreciate you taking the time and for us just to be able to sit there and hear you share your heart. He made a statement yesterday morning or Monday morning, and we had to change from Tuesday to Monday this week, and he made a statement and he said, we live in such a day where our technology and with media and all of these things, he said, we're trying to communicate, but he says, God has equipped us with a tool and with something that no media or no greater way can be improved upon. And he said, here's what it is. It's sharing your heart with someone else. Communicating from heart to heart. Looking people in the eye and talking to them and opening up your very inward being and sharing that with people and communicating with people. God has equipped all of us to be that way. Right here, the Apostle Paul does it in the very inspiration of the Word of God because he opens up his heart and he speaks to us heart to heart. That's the message, heart to heart. Heart to heart. I want you to know there's not a whole lot of people that would talk like he's talking right here. Talking about the struggles that he has, the fight, the conflict, the weaknesses that he has. But I find that we find in the Word of God, and I've also found it to be true in our lives, is we need to realize our weaknesses. We are in a struggle. We are in a warfare here. And so I just want to talk to you tonight about heart to heart. And I first want to mention the conflict. He's dealing with a conflict here. There's a conflict. Verses 14 through 20 deals with this conflict. The whole passage deals with the conflict. There's a struggle going on here that he faced. And this struggle that he faced we are facing as Christians. If you're a Christian tonight, you've just entered into the greatest warfare you'll ever get into. When you get saved, you've just entered into the greatest struggle you'll ever be a part of. And so we see this passage tonight, we see the conflict that he faced and we're going to face. And so let's look at verse 14, we see the origin. I want you to notice in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. Now that's very simple. We know that the word of God is the standard. We know that it is spiritual in nature. And we know that if we live and obey by his word, we will mature and we will be more Christ-like, right? If we know his word, if we read his word, if we apply his word, if we obey his word, and we live his word, we will become Christ-like, we will mature as Christians, right? You give a man a Bible, if he's in the darkest, deepest darkness jungle in Africa, you give him a Bible and that man will sit down and read the word of God and that's all he has. I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will illuminate him. It will change his life. It will guide his life. So we understand the origin. We know that the Bible says of itself. God says of the Word of God. We know that the law is spiritual. Huh. Wait a minute now. There's a problem. But I am carnal. There it is. There's the great struggle. Y'all with me? He doesn't mince words. He says the word of God is right, it is spiritual, it is true, it's always right. If we was to live and obey and surrender to the will of God through his word, we would mature, we would be Christ-like, but he said, but I'm carnal. So there's the struggle. The origin is in this verse. The Bible says the word of God is spiritual, the law is spiritual, but he says here's the problem, church. The Apostle Paul, one of the giants of the faith, said, but I am carnal. How many Christians you hear admit that today? Not very many. They'll tell you every reason why they're okay. There's a problem. We have the same problem the Apostle Paul. He lived in a flesh. He lived in a body that was prone to sin. Desires to sin. So we see that this body that we live in continues to desire sin. And let me just say, it is a continual conflict. You will not outgrow it. You will not mature over it. It, as long as you are saved and you have the Spirit of God and you have a desire to serve the Lord, you know that the Word of God is right. You know that the Word of God is true. You know that you, even if you desire to follow the Word of God, there is always that struggle of our flesh that we're carnal. So we see the struggle, we see the conflict, the origin. Then I want you to notice the opposition. Look at verse 15, the Bible says this, for that which I do, I allow not. Now that word allow there really means no, K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W. Now think about this, he's being extremely honest here in this verse. I mean, he's being clear, transparent, open, heart to heart. He's not mincing words, he's being very honest. He admits that there are times that he doesn't even know why he behaves the way he behaves. That's what he says right there. When he says, for that which I do, I allow not. He said, in other words, he says, there are times that I do things and I don't even know why I do them. It's behavior. Can you understand that? I can. You ever heard people say, oh, I never dreamed it would go this far. I just don't know what happened to me. Well, what happened to us is we're sinners by nature. We have that old man. We have that old flesh. And so we see that he doesn't even know why he behaved as he does at times. And so he longs. He lived a life that he showed that he longed to live for the Lord. But before he knew it, sin had come up on him. He had sinned and he had done some things that the Lord didn't desire him to do. Isn't that like us? This is a real struggle. I can honestly tell you this. I want to please the Lord. And you know what? Most people, I truly believe, that are in good churches like ours, I would dare to say they desire to live for the Lord and to obey the Lord. I want to tell you something. It's a struggle. It's a real struggle. We want to please the Lord. We want to live for the Lord. But look, often we fail by giving in to the lusts of our flesh. So we see the opposition. We see the origin. But notice the opportunity. Look at verse 18. The Bible says this. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so here's the opportunity, and here's what he's saying here. There are two totally different natures presenting themselves to us that have two totally different desires. When you got saved, the Spirit of God indwelled your life, but it did not completely take away your old man. You will not ever get away from those desires of your old nature until you get to heaven. Do you understand that? You're always going to be a constant work. We got saved. When you get saved, listen to me. When you get saved, you immediately get saved from the penalty of sin. Your salvation was paid for by Christ. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, it's paid in full. You're not going to pay for it. Jesus paid for it. He forgives you from your sin. But as you're living in this life, listen to me, you're not going to be saved from the presence of sin till we get to heaven. And as long as we're in this old body, we are constantly going to be struggling with our flesh nature. So here it is. It's the little picture. There's always two different, distinct angles at things. And you know what I'm saying is true. The Apostle Paul brings it out. But how many of you ever seen the little white cowboy on this side and, you know, the little angel on this side and the little devil with the pitchfork on this side? Now, we know the devil doesn't have a pitchfork. We know he doesn't look like that. The Bible said he was a beautiful creature. But we understand the principle. In the very minute that we're wanting to do good, there's a good voice. Why? When you get saved, the Spirit of God's trying to encourage you to surrender to the will of God, do the will of God, do the right thing, be forgiving, do the right thing, do the spiritual thing, line up with the Word of God. But then your old man's sitting there going, Right? That's the fight. That's real. And if you want to try to deny that, you're denying one of the heroes of the faith and the Word of God, because that's what he said was taking place. So for us to sit back, oh, I don't deal with those things, you're lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Oh, I don't have those thoughts like other people do. Liar. Liar. It's always present, Mike. The Apostle Paul, that had scars all over his body, he said this. So it's there. There is an opportunity at any moment. How can someone be as most spiritual in 5 minutes and 10 minutes later they could be in the worst knockout, drag-out fight with someone they just said they loved? Wow, there's two different opportunities that have two totally distinct outcomes. Two totally distinct desires. The spiritual is warring against the flesh. The Spirit of God is so far away from the desire that my body and my fleshly desires will have. So you say, well, we'll talk about this later, but who wins? Well, it's a simple, it's not simple, but it's a simple, it's whoever you yield to. That's another message. But the opportunity, those who are saved have a genuine desire to please the Lord. We get convicted, but then we fail, but yet we continue to do the things contrary to the Spirit. So there's opportunity. Then we see the observance. Look at verse 20. I want you to notice this. Verse 20. Now, if I do that what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this is key. Paul does not, y'all get this one down because this one really got me. Paul does not make excuses for his failures. Y'all write it down. Verse 20, that's what that means. He's not making excuses for his failures. He called it what it was, sin. Now, you say, Pastor, why is that key? Paul does not make excuses for his failures. He understands the struggle and he admits it. You say, Pastor, how does that give you victory? Well, if you don't understand the struggle, you'll never admit it. You'll never realize you've got to work on it. That's powerful. How can someone be fixed if they don't think they need fixed? Can I ask everybody here, when you come to church, and this is just, I'm just being completely transparent and honest here. Do y'all sit there and really examine yourself and really think, man, that could be me? This is what amazes me. You know, and I'm not being ugly, but there are people, I've been in the ministry about 20 years now, a little over 20 years, and Brother Mike, there are church hoppers. There's people, they'll jump from one church to the next, and it's amazing. I ran into one the other day, and he started telling me, you know, he looked at me straight in the face. I mean, it's kind of a dead giveaway. He looked at me, he said, well, they didn't get the memo. I'm like, well, what's the memo? Well, they didn't get the memo that I was gifted teacher. I'm like, well, you just told me right there, you ain't going to teach at my church. Because I didn't get the memo. Bless God. The church ain't going to get the memo by you telling them. The Lord knows all of that. They didn't get the memo. And then he told me all these churches he left, and I'm sitting here thinking, has that guy ever one time maybe just thought maybe he's the problem? Can all those churches have the same problems? Possibly, but truly, I want to ask you a question. Do you, I told Laura this the other day, God help me, I want to be examining myself all the time. If I don't realize I have a struggle, I don't realize there's not a problem, then there's no point for me to examine myself because you know what? It could be me. I'm just as capable of hurting somebody's feelings as the next. But if I don't realize that I'm capable of that, I'll never examine my heart to realize, maybe it was me, God. And then you know what he usually says? It was you. See, this is powerful, church. This is one of the ways we understand. He's speaking heart to heart. But here's what I love about the Apostle Paul. He didn't make excuses for it. He realized and understood that his struggle, and he admitted it. We must also realize the struggle and admit our need. Sin is never okay, even though we are always struggling to engage in it. It's never okay. We should never excuse it. We should never say it's because of our society. We should never say it's just we can't help it. We should never say, well, that's what my mommy did, or that's the way I was raised. It's never okay. Deal with it. Don't excuse it. If it hurts you, if it stings, if it cuts, let it cut you. I'd rather God work in my life and be thorough with me than me have this some kind of an idea that I'm okay and I'm really not. The Apostle Paul said, look, he didn't play. He said, look, he realized, he admitted his need. Sin's never okay. We must admit our need while seeking a closer walk with the Lord. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, you're going to struggle. Yes, I'm going to struggle. But we still are desiring to maintain a walk with the Lord. We got to admit the struggles there. Paul did. I often think in myself, you know, let's talk about it. We were talking about it earlier. There was something that happened in our life recently. With one reason why we went to West Virginia, and we found out that there was some feelings there. There were feelings there. Well, I know my wife enough. I did not think she had done anything, but I said, look, we got to go in there to make sure. I want to go in there and make sure. And to come to find out, it was what it was. It wasn't that Laura had done anything, but there was some issues there on the other side. And I often think, Lord, but reveal it to us if it is us. And I think I know my wife enough. If it was, my wife would want to know it so she could fix it and apologize for it. When we've done something we know, let's just admit, because the healing comes once we realize, oh, I failed. I've been wrong. Would you please forgive me? It amazes me. I've never went to one person and ever asked them to forgive me, and they've ever looked at me and said, I ain't forgiving you. Everybody I've ever talked to in a church that I have offended in church, not on purpose or even on purpose, you know what they've said to me, Brother Edgy? Pastor, we know that you're human. We love you. We know. We forgive you. Don't worry a thing about it. But you know what? When we don't admit and we don't think there is, we just go on. And then what happens? These tensions and walls and all this stuff comes up. And see here, I'm just telling you, church, what he deals with here. He said, look, he just admitted it. He said, look, I'm telling you, I'm struggling. It is sin. And I want you to know I admit it so I can deal with it. That's how we need to deal with it. So we understand the conflict quickly. We got to hurry. Look at the compulsion. Look at verse 21. The Bible says this, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Constant compulsion to sin. Look at the enticement in verse 21. Here's what he said in this verse. Every time he desired to do good, evil was right there to distract him. Listen to me. I've told, when you start serving God, let me tell every young person here just a second. All right, some of you have just gotten saved. Let me help you, and I'm not trying to scare you, but I want you to know something. Because now that you've chosen to do good, there is going to be 1,000 things to get you stopped. There'll be 1,000 distractions. Why? Because he said, hey, even though I'm getting hit from every side, he said, listen, this struggle, this enticement, this opposition is always there. Opposition's always there. There's always an alternative. See, we live in a day where you say, well, Pastor, why are you so big on bad, good and bad or good and best? Because look, it's like I said Sunday morning, I don't see any Christians leaving church and going and worshiping Satan. They have enough sense not to do that, but what they are doing is the devil has dangled something out that's an alternative for them instead of best. He's comfortable with them walking the good instead of the best. The devil doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're sinning or in Satanism or if you're just doing good and missing the will of God. He will distract you. Evil's always present. It's always there. It's always there. Good versus best. Spiritual versus the flesh. By the way, I believe one of the greatest alternative thinkings today is psychology over the Word of God. It's an alternative. Other people are seeking the psychology now instead of the truth of the Word of God. And so it's always there to try to distract. There's always this enticement. Yea, hath God said. So I ask you, have spiritual wisdom. The compulsion of sin, the compulsion of our flesh, the compulsion of the danger us to be enticed into sin. Listen to me. It's always there. He said it right there. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In other words, he said, it's always there. Look at the endearment. I love this. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He's not being a braggart there. He's not being a braggart. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's really pouring out his heart here. Here's what he's saying, Brother Mike. He said, but oh, I really desire in my spirit, my inward man, I want to serve God. Y'all ever feel like that? Well, I feel like that most of my life, but there's still that struggle there. So he's saying in that verse, the endearment is, oh, he said, I want to serve God. I love the Lord. I want to love him in my inward man. So he's not being arrogant. He's just pouring out his endearment, and he's genuinely desires to obey and to serve the Lord, although he struggles. He desired to do right. He's expressing his displeasure and grief over the defeat that he suffers. Listen to me. A lost man has no struggle. There's no struggle for a lost man. He's not convicted if he doesn't go to church on Sunday. He's not convicted if whatever, serve the Lord. He doesn't care. He's not convicted if he don't read the Bible. He don't care anything about that Bible. See, he's saying for the Christian, he understands, he's saying to us that, listen, he said, it's evident for the Christian, the Spirit is evident when you are struggling. Let me just say this, and I've made this statement 1,000 times in the ministry, and I'll probably make it 1,000 times till I die. People always come up to me and say, oh, Pastor, I'm struggling with this. Good. Good? Yeah. You better keep fighting, because when you quit, you're done. Y'all mark her down. When you stop fighting, you're finished. So that's what I said. When you get in the Christian life, you just enter into the greatest warfare that you've ever entered into. Why? Because it's always there. It's always there. It's always there. So we see the endearment. Then quickly, let me say the entrapment and I'll close. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now here's what he says. The attacks were unrelenting. You ever been there? I know some of you have been there. You're already shaking your head. Attacks are unrelenting. When he gained victory on one front, Brother Don, and he said, I'm all right. About that time from the back, something else comes. And when he feels like he's got this one figured out, he says, Lord, I think I got this figured out. Then pretty soon something else blows up. There's another insecurity that takes place, or another weakness, or another stronghold, or another wall that's been broken down in our life. And there's been times in my life I said, God, I can't take no more. When's this going to stop? I wish I could tell you it would. It will one day, but it will be when we get to heaven. But listen to me, and listen to me well. As long as you're here in this life, living the Christian life, listen to me, it will never. It's unrelenting. So a lot of people say, oh, I'll tell you what, I didn't know what I was signed up for when I got become a Christian. Well, you do now. So what I'm saying is this, simply this, and I believe this is what the Apostle Paul, there's no rest from the battle. Here's what I want to say. You can never put your Christian life in cruise control. You hear me? You better write it down. You better never put your marriage in cruise control. You say, Pastor, you mean that you better be a fanatic about it 24/7? Look at me. Yes. Because I'm going to promise you this. The devil's a fanatic about it 24/7. See, I shared this with you, Sonny, but this is what scares me. This is what, it doesn't make me mad. It hurts me because there's so many Christians, I watch them, here's what they're doing. Everything's okay. You know, like, oh, I mean, we're in wolf country. We're in enemy territory all the time, but it's okay. It's not okay. You got to fight. Do you know the people that try to, that are strong Christians? And you know, and I know this is, but you know, discipline, structure, standards, everybody in the Christian life wants to poke fun at that stuff now. Like, we're in 2019. We don't need all that stuff. Well, wait a minute. The devil's still getting people. And all you're telling me is you're letting your guard down. And when we let our guards down, that's when the devil, and by the way, he's much smarter than wiser than we are. But look at every military campaign that has ever been successful. They've always been successful because they've had a mind or a general that has been able to survey the weaknesses of the other army, and they take the army when they're at weak points. Y'all know Chickamauga. I wish I could say to y'all tonight that the Virginians just whooped the Northerns in that, Brother Mark. I wish I could just say to you honestly tonight that the Southern men in that army just absolutely whooped that Northern army at Chickamauga. But do y'all want to know the truth? Y'all want to know the truth? Why General James Longstreet, that was moved, his corps was moved down here to Chickamauga to fight, and to fight down here, why he broke through the lines of Chickamauga? Because that was the only battle that the South won down here. You want to know why? They're better. No, obviously they were good, but can I help you? You don't want to know? Chance. The North had a mistake in their line, and they thought they had had coverage there, but they had moved a whole section of a division off of the line at the very same time that Longstreet just happened to make a charge in an empty spot, thus running the Northern Army off the field at Chickamauga. You say, why'd they win? Weakness. There was a weak spot. There wasn't nobody there. So it'd be a whole lot easier for a whole corps to bust through the lines when there's nobody there. There was a gap there about the size of 500 yards. It completely caused chaos and routed the Northern Army. You know how many military successes has been because someone's known the weakness in the line? And listen to me, I promise you this, the devil knows the weaknesses in the lines. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a whole lot of churches that sure have just let all their walls down. They've let all their stuff down, and we've given them every reason to say, well, it just ain't for this generation, and you know, these people just don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you right now, the devil understands it perfectly. You say, Pastor, what are you supposed to be? Be me? No, I'm saying, look, I don't care if somebody calls me a fanatic. I don't care if somebody thinks that I'm too strong. I don't care if somebody thinks, well, you've been too hard on your children. I don't care. I don't care. And listen to me, and I mean that, and I'll say that to anybody. I don't care what they think. Because I've read the book, and I know that the fight is real, and when we start letting stuff down, you're going to start seeing destroyed, broken lives. And futures are going to be destroyed. And then we're going to sit back and, well, I just don't know what happened. He told you what happened. It's a constant conflict, and we can never let our guard down. In our homes, with our children, in this church. And all God's people said, let's stand.